Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, we all go running around and around and around in circles, and we don't really end up getting anywhere that we want to go. So this is where Tippy Talk comes in, to slow down, take a deep breath, stop running around, because today is the day to take a look at a different aspect of things that we do, things that we say, that we might not really want to do them because they may not serve us so well. The music is by Alan James from Newborn, great band that is being showing all over New York City, Brooklyn, Manhattan, Bronx, Queens, and now actually on the radio too. So Alan James is with newbornband.com. Check them out. Check out their music. They are all official music for Tippy Talk. And so let's stop running around and take a deep breath and step into the Tippy Zone, where we are going to work on getting from here, where things are not so great, to there where you want to be. And so today, I was looking all over the place to find something that we don't talk about so much, and that is chronic apologies. Have you ever met someone that apologizes for everything that they do? And honestly, after a while, it's really, really annoying. But what does that mean? What does chronic apology really say about you? It says that you don't feel that you have much self-worth. It says that everybody else may seem to you more important than you are. And a lot of people suffer from that tendency, and they apologize all the time. They apologize for everything. I'm not saying that apologizing is not good at all. Apologizing is definitely really, really important when you know you made a mistake and when you know you maybe did something without thinking they shouldn't have done. Like, for example, I did something spontaneously in front of a group, and I felt that it was misunderstood because everybody was staring at me. So it was appropriate for me to get up and apologize for it. And it was, I thought it was funny. So the question was that I had to get up and answer was, do you have any skeletons in your closet? To me, killing someone or murder is so unthinkable and is so not within the parameter of my thoughts. I don't even like to watch movies about people killing each other. Not that I don't. I watch a lot of movies that do, because that's the kind of movies that we have. But I don't really resonate with it. So for me to say, oh, yeah, I have a skeleton in my closet, I killed someone, is a joke. I think it's funny because I wouldn't even kill a fly. As a matter of fact, I would rather get killed than be forced to kill someone. If I was forced to kill someone, and I know for sure that I would do that because I have had a gun put to my head. But when I do have a gun put to my head, of course I'm going to defend myself. Of course my life is more important than the life of a murderer. I'm not saying that I would turn the other cheek and die. I'm just saying that I would never in my wildest imagination or in any circumstance ever hurt anyone. So I said, oh, yeah, I killed someone. And everybody looked at me. And all of a sudden I realized that they took me seriously. They really thought I was serious about it. And so I felt really bad all day and all night, and I felt that I had to go back and apologize for saying that and really make them understand that it was a really bad joke. So in a situation like that, apologizing is definitely a social convention. And it definitely keeps the interaction between people polite and it keeps things clear. And clarity is important. And it could be also helpful, you know, when you apologize for a situation that need apology. But if you find someone, or if you find yourself apologizing for everything, then it might be time to look at why. Why do we feel compelled to say I'm sorry so often? Because, like I said, saying sorry means that you're responsible for something that has gone wrong in the situation, whether it's negotiating a parking spot, whether it's moving to an aisle of a supermarket, whether it's getting somewhere on time and somebody stands in your way. There are times when sorry is definitely the right thing to say, but there are other times when excuse me is much more accurate. So sometimes saying you're sorry is like saying that the other person has more rights than you do. And of course, it's true that using the word sorry can simply be an innocuous way of diffusing tension. But if you find that you say sorry all the time, you might want to look a little deeper and see where in your psyche that might be coming from. If it's a pattern, it would be nice to break it and bring some awareness to that practice. And I actually started thinking about it because I saw an article by Madison Taylor about apologizing. And she writes about apologizing. She says, apologizing chronically can be a sign that you are not feeling that you have much self-worth. And I totally agree because I know people that don't stop apologizing. And it really doesn't feel like they have any self-worth, because why would they apologize for things that they have no control over doing? And so the first step in observing yourself is watch, if you are the person that's apologizing, watch yourself how many times a day you say I'm sorry and start counting it. Every time you say I'm sorry, write it down. Or maybe if you're not conscious about it yourself, maybe have somebody track you, somebody that is with you a lot, and tell them, do me a favor, write down every time I say I'm sorry, and after I say it 10 times, let me know. Because it works when you do it with evaluating speeches and you listen to someone and they say all the time, and you write down how many times they say it and you make them aware of it, they do become aware and people tend to stop doing it. So you can, throughout the day, you can notice it. But before you sit back and try to notice it, how many times you apologize, if you think that it's you, that you're the one that apologizes all the time, before you do that, you kind of sit back the beginning of the day and you tell yourself, that you want to notice every time you apologize. And you might surprise yourself and see that you do it more than you even realize that you do it. Or you might surprise yourself and not be aware that you do it as much as you do. But if you do it for a couple of days of observation, then you can actually try to figure out how you feel right before you say it. Try to figure out what motivates you to say it. Is it because you feel bad about yourself? Do you feel that the other person is better than you? Do you feel that if you don't apologize, they may not like you? Or maybe that you're not worth it? Are you threatened? Are you embarrassed? Are you anxious? It could be a whole bunch of things. But if you can actually stop yourself saying it before the words come out of your mouth, then you're actually beginning to change your behavior. And you actually get to the point where you recognize it as something or some kind of trauma or something that had made you feel that way a very long time ago when you were a child or a teenager. But you are going to realize that that feeling has been with you for a long time. And you may even, if you succeed in objectively looking at it, which is basically the goal, is to look at it objectively, then you actually will be able to allow it, which means it will go away. You will not feel like you have to apologize all the time. But don't try to bend your head against the wall and say, I'm never going to do it again. Oh, my God, how can I do it? No, just allow it to be. Just observe it. Observation is really the most powerful tool of all. Because the more you're able to see it, the freer you'll be not to be sorry all the time. So that's really something that I personally have not ran into a lot of people that apologize all the time, but I have seen a few people that apologize all the time. And I didn't realize what it was. And sometimes I do feel that I need to apologize, but most of the time I feel that it's because other people don't get me more than I did something to hurt someone. Yeah, but because I remember one more time that I had to apologize, and all of a sudden now I'm thinking I'm chronic, and this is within 1 month. And I had to apologize for saying something where in front of 20 people, and 20% of those, 50% of those people told me that they were offended by what I said. So it wasn't that was, I said something that was not politically correct. And I didn't say anything. They told me they were offended. I said, okay, but it's true. And I went home. And I felt really bad that people were offended because I don't want to offend people. That's not my, it's not my goal. It's not my mission. It's not what I enjoy doing. So I thought about it a lot. And I thought about both sides of it. I thought, I get offended a lot of times when people say things, but I don't call them out on it. So one of the things I learned from that is that I need to call people out on something. If I'm offended, then there's nothing wrong with telling them that I'm offended and making it known, and then maybe they won't say it anymore. But the second thing, which was more important for me, is I felt that I had to apologize because I said something without backing up my statement of why I said it. And without backing it up, a lot of people that don't disagree with me started screaming in their head that it wasn't true. So I came back, and again, I apologized for saying that without backing it up. But I didn't apologize because I felt that I did something wrong. I apologized because I felt that I did, yeah, maybe I did it. Maybe I said it the wrong way. Maybe I should have said it with an explanation. But it was more about my audience not understanding it the way that I intended it to be, because I intended to give information, important information, and sometimes the truth is very painful. Sometimes the truth is not something that people want to hear, and that's okay. I'm not politically correct, so I don't really care if people get offended. But when I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I could have explained it. If I would have said it and explained it, and then people would still be offended, and I wouldn't have cared. So now I'm going to go back, and honestly, I'm very reluctant to go back and say the same thing because now I know that a lot of people are going to be offended, but I'm going to say it the right way, I think. Well, I haven't done it yet, so when I do, I will know. And so I apologize 2 times in public within 1 month. And another thing I learned from that experience was that I need to maybe think things through a little more than 1 second before I say it. When someone puts me on the spot and asks me a question and I answer it, I need to answer it with more conscious understanding that a lot of people may be listening to it. It's not just a conversation and one-on-one. But also, even if it's a conversation and one-on-one, I need to think about who am I talking to. Am I talking to somebody that I don't know, and I don't know what their reaction will be, so I have to be a little bit more reserved. I can't be completely open. Or say a joke that makes no sense to them because they don't know me. Or am I talking to someone that might understand, might not agree with me, but might understand what I'm trying to say. And even if they get offended, they will realize that that's just that we think differently. And so this is really powerful because apologizing is very hard sometimes when it really needs to be done. But like anything else in life, food is very important. You can die without it, but overdoing it and overdoing apologies is not a sign of strength. It's a sign of weakness. And so if you apologize too much, I want to hear from you. I want you to call me. You can call at 914-338-0686. Or you could leave a remark below here where you're listening and let me know if you're the one that apologizes too much. We want to hear your story. And we have someone on the line here, Robert, who might or might not have something to say about it. We'll see. We'll give him a little bit of time. And if he does have something to say about apologizing too much, then we'll open the line and let him talk about it. But I also wanted to give you a little bit of inspiration for today, a little bit of inspiration on how to make your life better. And since I'm writing a book called Planning Power, I found a quote by Alan Lacking, who is an author. And my book, Planning Power, is definitely based on the power that we have to plan our future that we really don't take advantage of because we always put it on default. And we plan our life on default. We allow everything else to control what we're going to do. But Alan Lacking said that planning is bringing the future into the present so that you can do something about it now. Instead of reacting to events that happen to you on the outside, you're basically creating it from the inside in your brain, from the inside out. I'm going to tell you a secret that I don't talk about that much of how I came to realize that in a really, really powerful way, how we plan everything. And whether it's positive or negative, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, our life is planned. And I'm telling you, plan it consciously. Sit down and make a plan of how you want your life to be. Make it as outrageous as you can think that it's possible for you or as modest as you can believe. But your planning definitely will have a powerful impact on your life. And I realized it after my car accident. A major, major car accident on my 40th birthday. And I didn't plan it. At least I didn't think I did. But I got in my car and I drove somewhere and my car broke halfway through. Okay, I'm just giving you the gist of it, but if you want more, I'll send you the chapters. So all you have to do is email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com, tippytalkshow@gmail.com, and I'll email you that chapter about the accident. And so when I found myself on the other side of the mountain because my car rolled down and down and down with all my bones broken and I really just wanted to die, I passed out when they picked me up to put me on the ambulance because the pain was so excruciating, I just blacked out. And when I blacked out, I felt that I was detaching from my body. I felt that I didn't have to live in this body anymore. And as I was leaving my body in the ambulance, I saw myself when I was 19 years old. I used to watch Raquel Welch, and at that time she was 40. And she was saying how she can't believe how great her body is at 40. She was still doing yoga. And I said, well, at 40, I'm okay with dying. I mean, 40 is so old. And on my 40th birthday, I was almost dead. And so did I plan it? No. Did I say it? Yes, I couldn't deny the fact that I said it. And all of a sudden it hit me that I said it. And also, things that were going on before my birthday, I was really, really depressed and so much pressure. I was going through hell on all sides, on all issues. I was going through a divorce. I had an ex from hell. I had to raise two kids on my own with zero support from anyone. The stress was outrageous. And I wasn't happy. I was really, really down. I was not suicidal only because I was not planning to kill myself, but I definitely was not happy, and I wasn't a happy camper, and I wasn't running around happily enjoying the fact that I was raising two kids, which of course I should have. It's an amazing part of life. And then I found out that I almost died, and I had the choice. I had a choice of whether I wanted to stay alive or not. But it also made me realize that planning is really bringing the future into the present. So if you have something that you've always wanted to do, sit down and make a plan. Sit down and see what it is that you wanted to do, how you want to get there from where you are. Not how you want to get there. You don't have to work out the details. Just define on where you want to go. That's enough. Once you have a destination, everything else will be so much easier. But get to that destination. Identify that destination. And don't ever let that out of your mind. Every day that you wake up, think about destination. Think about where you want to go. And how you're going to get there is going to unfold like a magical carpet, like the magic carpet of the magic, whatever you want to call it. Because not knowing where you want to go, or vaguely knowing where you want to go, but not identifying it, is really giving up your power. It's really giving away a lot of the possibilities that you really have in your fingertips. So don't give it away like I did. Don't walk away from your destiny. Go ahead and stop apologizing for anything and do what you can with the power that you already have in your hands to do. Define where you want to go. And let me know right here. You can either put a comment below and tell me where it is you want to go. If you want to declare it on the radio and let everybody know, email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com, and we will discuss how to do it. I will give you the details. Leave a remark right down here, and maybe you can boldly declare what it is that you want. What's your destination? That's basically my question. What is your destination? Where do you want to go? Where does your heart desire to go? And where does your soul feel that it belongs? Do you want to go to Mars? Do you want to go to another country? Do you want to go to another house? Do you want to go to another relationship that you're at? What do you want? And I'm hoping that you will definitely have a magical journey, because at the end of the day, you deserve it. You earned it. You've lived life up until now. Let your talent be your potion. And until next week, we're going to see you again live at 5 on Monday, right here on Tippy Talk. Have a wonderful week.
been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream, always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee.
I'm sorry, we are having major technical issues around here with this music, but we're going to try to play the track again. Ah, there you go. Much, much better. Enjoy it.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream, always in a rush. I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your coffee. Cold feet on the gas, I've been driving too fast, chasing you down like shots of vodka. Every night I'm in bed, you're just a name in my head, and I say it like it's my mantra. Don't need a man, you got a phone in